Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. I'm delighted to have you on board with us today. Looking forward to our dialogue and discussion. We're going to be talking about the Islamic assault on America. Before we get into the monologue and the dialogue and discussion today, I'd like to let you know that we entertain your calls. You can call 831-0917. 831-0917 is the telephone number that you dial and gets you straight through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can have dialogue and discussion on this vital issue today. Let me remind us, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It's not a matter of what I say or you say. It's not a matter of what Omar Tlaib, the Islamic jihadist in the House, or any of those in the Senate might say. It's not a matter of a denominational dogma. It's not a matter of some ideological, philosophical rhetoric. What we talk about, ladies and gentlemen, as Christians and as Christian conservatives, is that which we ought to look at as we face the issues, and that's the authority. That is the defense. In theological circles, it's called apologetics. It is defending the faith. And as we defend the faith, and as we defend our nation, as we defend our constitutional republic and the representative form of government, we need to do so based on the authority of Scripture. And as we face the issues today, as is the norm for each and every day as we face the issues, we do so based on a biblical worldview. And a biblical worldview simply means that we believe the inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. We believe that God created the home, He created the government, and He created the church, and in that order. And as you study the Scripture, ladies and gentlemen, regardless of the issues, those issues may be doctrinal, theological, biblical, may be issues that some call political, could be issues that are discussed as social issues, i.e. homosexual issues, etc. Whatever that issue may be, it is confined in the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. And that ought to be the tool, that ought to be the source that we go to as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway, as it says in Psalms. That ought to be what we look for. Jesus said to His disciples, if you continue in My word, then you're My disciples indeed. That word indeed, ladies and gentlemen, simply means truly, surely, absolutely, disciples. If you continue in My word, then you're My disciples truly, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And so what is that truth that Jesus is talking about? It is the truth of the word of God. In John 17:17, Jesus said, Thy word is truth. And so, ladies and gentlemen, as we face issues on this broadcast each day, I want you to understand, as we do so, it is based on the authority of Scripture. And one of the things that we're finding taking place in America today, ladies and gentlemen, is the onslaught of what I called in my book a number of years ago, The Coming Global Islamic Invasion. And it was the second book in the series, a book that was far greater than that, 25 chapters, about 350 pages in length, is Islam tolerant. So when we talk about Islamic issues, I want you to know I'm not a neophyte on the subject. I want you to understand that I don't have all of the answers. I've got plenty of questions. And I have the source book, the Islamic Jews themselves. It's called the Quran. It is the most wicked, evil, demonically inspired book on the face of the globe. And yet we have those in the House and the Senate and a former president that were sworn into office with their hand own not the Bible, but the Quran. And the Quran is a corruption of anything that would be called morals and ethics and values and truth, and anything that would be referred to as a constitutional republic. Yes, we're talking about, is Islam tolerant? No, it's not. The question that must be asked and talked about, is America destroying our own country? Are we as Americans destroying our own nation? Ladies and gentlemen, can we continue to simply ignore what we see taking place in America? Americans and Christians and conservatives can't just sit back and assume that someone else will take care of this problem. For too long, ladies and gentlemen, I believe that the political leaders at all levels have ignored the Islamic invasion. This invasion is from the local, state, and national level. And the invasion that I'm talking about, ladies and gentlemen, is where they're coming together. And I will talk about this further in our broadcast on you reach a mass in society in the Islamic population. And it once it reaches a certain mass, that is number, population percentage, once it reaches a certain mass, it is too late to turn the tide. It is too late to reverse the onslaught with the invasion and ultimate control. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm concerned because demographers tell us by the year 2050, now some will say, I won't be here. Ladies and gentlemen, our families will be here. Some of our children and grandkids will be here. Our great-great-grandchildren will be here. But in 2050, according to demographers, this nation will be controlled by Islam. Now, I don't know what that does in your psyche, but it absolutely stresses me with the understanding that we are at a juncture now that we could reverse it and we could stop the trend. But I say that we're not doing it. We're watching, ladies and gentlemen, every level that's ignoring this. This invasion is from the local, state, and national level. Today, the Socialist Democratic Party is only advocating what Satan himself would have to take place, only an advocate for Satan and his demons. The Democratic Socialists could care less about the invasion and the indoctrination of Islam in our schools, in our military, in our political system, and ladies and gentlemen, in the warp and woof of society. Now, perhaps you say, well, that's Islamophobic. Perhaps you're saying with your goody-goody two-shoes philosophy that, well, not talk about folks like that. After all, you know, the Bible says we're to love everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, we're not talking about whether or not we love them. God created them and we love them, but it's an enemy and we need to know the enemy. We need to know how to confront the enemy. We need to know how to go to battle with the enemy. We need to know the mindset, the philosophy, and the ideological bent of the enemy. If we do not, the enemy shall win. And ladies and gentlemen, that's taking place across the board in our society today. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, you can dial the number 831-0917 and join this dialogue and discussion. You can agree or disagree. We're not going to be disagreeable. But I can tell you what, we need to understand that we're faced with an enemy, and that enemy is absolutely on the roll in America today. But the mayor reminded us, ladies and gentlemen, can America become an Islamic nation? My answer is unequivocally, emphatically, yes. How can this happen? Very simply put, the Islamics are using our Constitution and our laws to their own benefit. I don't know if you remember 9/11 or not. I remember it very vividly. And I remember shortly after 9/11, the actual event, the Islamic jihadist imam in Washington and in New York, they were all ecstatic about the fact they wanted to build a Islamic mosque at the base of where the Twin Towers were knocked down. They had an old building there. They started using that as a mosque. They were going to tear it down and build a total mosque. And when interviewed on television, the imam that was in charge of that mosque was asked the question, why do you want to put it there? How do you intend to do so? He laughed and said, we're going to use your own laws. We're going to use your own freedom of religion laws to allow us to do that in America. And I don't know of any place I've ever read, anybody I've ever heard, that has placed it any more succinctly as to the way that he did on that occasion. Ladies and gentlemen, you recall just a few short weeks ago, Judge Jeanine on Fox News was simply removed for a couple of weeks. She was chastened, put back on the air. It's been silence about it since. But the terror tied, that's the terrorist tied group called CARE, Council on American Islamic Relations, pressed Fox News to fire Judge Jeanine. Did you know that? The network punished Judge Jeanine for raising the question of whether or not a Muslim, the Muslim representative, Ahan Omar, the Democrat of Minnesota, put Sharia or Islamic law, when you say Sharia law, by the way, that can be spelled S-H-A-R-I-A or S-H-A-R-I-A-H, either one, Islamic law, it's talking about Quran, and the Quran can be spelled with a Q-R-K, either one is academically correct, but whether or not Islamic law is viewed in her life as being above the Constitution or any other law of the nation. And ladies and gentlemen, that was the right question, simply because Islamics do not recognize the Constitutional Republic of the United States of America. You might say, oh yes, well, they've run for office and they've sworn an oath to uphold the Constitution. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't understand the Quran. The Quran gives them the right of lying if that deception will cause you to believe what they're saying and to accept it. Here's a further portion of an article that I just read. CARE is an unindicted co-conspirator in the terror-funded case, which was designed by an Arab Gulf nation as a terrorist organization, designated as that terrorist organization. The group, funded by operatives of the Palestinian terrorist Hamas group, is promoting the boycott of Fox News advertisers to force the Fox News to fire Judge Jeanine. They're also doing the same thing on the Tucker Carlson program. They say, and I quote, Fox News must clearly state that Judge Jeanine will not be allowed back on the air after her long history of Islamophobic hate and her rhetoric about Islam, and the network must also take similar action against other Islamophobic hosts like Tucker Carlson. According to CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations National Executive Director Nahad Awad. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, Judge Jeanine did nothing wrong. Judge Jeanine just simply spoke the truth. When Judge Jeanine, on her show on March the 10th, said, think about this. She, speaking of Omar, the new Muslim representative in Washington, she's not getting this anti-Israel sentiment doctrine from the Democratic Party. So if she's not rooted in the party, where is she getting this from? Think about it. Omar wears a hijab. Which, according to Quran 33:59, tells women to cover so they won't be molested. Is her adherence to this Islamic doctrine indicative of her adherence to Sharia law, which in itself is antithetical to the United States Constitution? Ladies and gentlemen, that was an absolute correct statement made by Judge Jeanine back several weeks ago now. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that we're facing is the fact that Islam is not tolerant. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, let me say to you, in my book, Is Islam Tolerant? I had the privilege of publishing a few years back. On pages 162 to 163, I stated the very simple yet very profound approach that is taking, that is being used today by the Islamics to take control of America. Islam is now operating on the basis of jihad submission jihad. There's a silent jihad, submission jihad, warring jihad, et cetera, et cetera. Today, they're operating on a jihad that is a holy war, a takeover, but it's on the basis of what they call submission. That is operating in our cities and our states and our nations, acting the part of being a good Muslim, living according to the Quran with their Friday prayers, et cetera, et cetera. But this is only until they have amassed a population. Listen to this number. Once they reach a population between 2% and 5%. Now, some demographers say between 2% and 6%. Some say between 3% and 5%. Let's just use the outside number of the potentiality of 6%. You would think if there's any aberrant group in a nation, especially the nation the size of America, 330-some-odd million people, you would think that just 2%, 3%, 4%, 5% would not make a lot of difference. But ladies and gentlemen, that's the historical roots of what Islam does. Once they reach that level of that small number, they then start making demands. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that I just read you an excerpt of that goes into detail. I have some of the details similar to this, but not totally, in my book, Is Islam Tolerant? But this article says, when the Muslim population remains under 2%, their present trends to fly under the radar, when it reaches 2% to 5% range, Muslims begin to seek converts targeting those who they see as disaffected, such as criminals. When the population reaches 5%, they exert influence disproportionate to their numbers, becoming more aggressive, pushing Sharia law. When the population hits 10%, Muslims become increasingly lawless and violent. Once the population reaches 20%, there's an increase in rioting, murder, jihad militants, and destruction of the non-Muslim places of worship. Once the level reaches 40%, there are widespread massacres, chronic terror attacks, and ongoing militia warfare. Once beyond 50%, infidels and apostates, that apostates meaning those that converted from Islam to another denomination, infidels, talking about me and you, talking about Christians, talking about those that are non-Muslims, are persecuted and genocide occurs, Sharia law is then implemented. After 80%, intimidation is a daily part of the way of life with the violent jihadists and some state-run genocides as the nation plunges and pursues and purges all of the so-called infidels from their society. We can just look at Europe, ladies and gentlemen, and see what's happening there. We can look at the Netherlands. We can look at France and Germany. We can look at London. Today in London, England, police officers will not even go into what they call the ghetto, which is the Islamic hold-up points. They will not even go there. Ladies and gentlemen, we're watching some of this take place in the conversions in America, where things are taking place today that you would never think would happen. But let me just give you a little illustration. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the level of 2 to 5% of the population of any nation. Once it reaches 2 to 5% of the Islamic jihadists, of what takes place? Number one, they start pushing supermarkets to stock what's called halal food. That means non-pork items, et cetera, et cetera. Halal food is the designated name for foods that Islamics consider to be clean food. They push for prayer rugs in schools, universities, and colleges. They push to have foot basins so they can wash their feet on the Friday prayers. Most universities today, state-run, governmentally controlled, taxpayer-funded universities, schools, and colleges today, all of them have prayer rooms for the Islamics. They have the prayer rugs for the Islamics. They have the wash basins, foot basins for the Islamics. You didn't know that. Check it out. See if I'm right or wrong. Ladies and gentlemen, they start pushing government to allow them to rule themselves under Sharia law, that is Islamic law, Quranic law, and not the constitutional law. They push governments to appoint them in political positions. In fact, in 2003, when Dr. Parvez Ahmed, which is now in Jacksonville, Florida, on the Human Rights Commission, of all people at all places and all commissions, but when he was the head of CARE, Council on American Islamic Relations, headquartered out of for Florida Division, headquartered out of Tampa, he had on his website encouraging Muslims to run for office and get elected or get appointed, even if it means being a dog catcher, that you can take a position in the political process. And that's exactly what we see taking place in America today. During the most recent election, the November 2018 election, there were over 100 Islamics running for different offices in city, state, and national levels across America, over 100, first time in the history of America. Fourthly, they start pushing government for the appointed positions, as I said. Fifth, they will have a major increase in the building of mosques. Do you realize, ladies and gentlemen, we have over 3,500 mosques in America today, over 100 what they call super mosques, and you can't just say, well, that's just their place of worship. No, 10,000 times no, ladies and gentlemen. That's not just their place of worship. That's where they do their war planning. That's where they do their strategy planning. That's where they stockpile any weapons that they want to use in the future, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Some of the most dastardly deeds have been carried out as a result of the plannings in the mosque around the globe. And that's taking place right here in America, ladies and gentlemen. And because of our religious liberties laws, law enforcement's not allowed to go in there and discover these things until there's a massive event, just like it's taken place in France on several occasions, taken place in Germany and other European countries. Then once they discover that it's coming out of the mosque, then they go into the mosque, then they start having their eyes open as to what's really taking place. Number six. They will run for political office and begin to move our nation away from our founding documents and our founding fathers, our Constitution and our republic, our constitutional republic. And they will start running for office in city, state, and nation. And the influence of Islam and Sharia law will start being prevalent and making its way into our system of governance. Ladies and gentlemen, so just where are we today in this Islamic pattern of takeover and their push for control in America? Just where are we? Number one, first of all, we find our public governmentally controlled schools allowing Islamic indoctrination in our schools, disavowing Christians and the Bible and prayer in the classroom, but allowing Islamic students to get up and walk out of the classroom five times a day if they want to go and pray. And in our textbooks, ladies and gentlemen, many of our textbooks absolutely are filled with Islamic indoctrination. And nothing is being said. The publishing houses that's publishing, it's doing it under the guise of being approved by the U.S. Department of Education. Each State Department of Education has to use the list of textbooks that's approved by the U.S. Department of Education. Thus, local moms and dads and local school boards have no authority of what's being taught in our public schools. Ladies and gentlemen, we're watching the demise of the Constitutional Republic in America. We're watching the Islamic assault on America. We're watching, ladies and gentlemen, America destroying itself and allowing Islam to control. Here's an article that says U.S. Muslim school kids singing in the schools. Students at a Muslim school in Houston, Texas, celebrated the 40th anniversary of Islamic Revolution in Iran by condemnation of U.S. sanctions against the rogue regime and declarations that Ayatollah is our leader, and has a video clip to this. The crowd chanted in response, "Away with the humiliation. Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar." In addition, young boys wearing scarves and green headbands sang songs for the Ayatollah. Quote, "Where are your followers? Where are you our leader? We are your soldiers, and together we can all attain to your power. May Allah always keep your hand upon us, a warrior just like the Battle of Khabar. May you always be the light of our guidance." Ladies and gentlemen, those are words not being sung in any Islamic nation. Those are words being sung at a public school in Houston, Texas, as I speak. And may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, it's being allowed. And if anything's said, then all of a sudden there's, well, you're the only person that's complaining. You're the only person that's narrow-minded or something like that. Here's an article that says, Dearborn, Michigan, Islam school linked to Iran and Hezbollah propagandist. Clarion Project has discovered that a private Islamic school in Dearborn, Michigan is linked to the diehard supporters of Hezbollah and the Iranian regime. The school teaches students from kindergarten through ninth grade. Great Revelations Academy was founded in 2015 by open supporters of the Grand Ayatollah Muhammad Hussein Fadallah. By their own admission, the school's founders are dedicated to spreading Hadallah's message. And the article goes further to talk about the support of that regime since 1979. Fahadallah supported the 1983 bombing of the U.S. Marine barracks in Beirut, Lebanon, killing 241. The Academy stated objection. Listen, stated objective for the Academy is the teaching of radical clerics' vision of children and being the warriors. One of the Academy's founders, Fahad Boran, an Arabic-American newspaper news article says that the one purpose of creating the school was to pass along Fadallah's teachings of the children in America. Ladies and gentlemen, that is horrifying to me. I don't know about you, but we're finding this in our public schools across America. I could read you article after article. We've got archives of dozens and dozens and dozens of articles of the different states and the different schools, Tennessee, Michigan, New York, New Hampshire, Texas, Oregon, California, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It doesn't stop. It is invading America. It is invading. It is the Islamic assault by way of invasion in our American system. It is in our schools today, ladies and gentlemen. Here's an article that says the Council on American Islamic Relations, the nation's largest Muslim advocacy group organization, today called on Muslim parents to attend a school board meeting Tuesday in Tennessee, at which a vote was to be taken on the adoption of social studies textbooks that has faced Islamic opposition from at least one school board member. And it's in Sullivan County, Tennessee, ladies and gentlemen. The whole point is that the grade 7th and 8th grade textbooks are praising Islam and they're discounting Christianity and Judaism, and yet because people are concerned about it and asking questions, Council on American Islamic Relations jumped into the fray, and now they're demanding that the textbooks continue to be used. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen, by David Horowitz, Freedom Center, and he talks about what's happening. The radical left using tax dollars to indoctrinate your children and grandchildren with Islamic propaganda. In fact, New York promotes an educational video for teachers to use in the classroom called Dying to Be a Martyr. It interviews Islamic terrorists and justifies the terrorist attacks. Ladies and gentlemen, this article says countless schools forces children to learn and recite the five pillars of Islam. In Florida, students had to design and create a Muslim prayer rug. In Maryland, students had to write out the Shahada. And the Shahada, ladies and gentlemen, is the call to conversion by Islam. It says there's no God but Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. Ladies and gentlemen, this is taking place, and it's horrifying to me. Perhaps you're listening, and you say, well, it's not going to bother me. It doesn't affect me. Ladies and gentlemen, eventually it will. Maybe past your lifetime or mine, but it's on the fast track as I speak. We're talking about the Islamic assault on America and the question of whether or not America, whether or not we're going to destroy ourselves from within. Ladies and gentlemen, it moves from the level of allowing indoctrination for our students and disavowing Christians and the Bible and prayer in the classroom. It moves from that to where, secondly, the cities are now allowing Muslim patrols for Islamic communities. Did you know that last fall, New York City set up, they've got a whole fleet of squad cars. On the side, it says Muslim Community Patrol. Muslim Community Patrol. They're patrolling the Muslim communities rather than the law enforcement in New York City. Muslim Community Patrol. Ladies and gentlemen, they're doing that in London, England today. They have been for the past 6 or 8 years, where the police department will not go there. In fact, in London, England, most of the court cases dealing with Islam's dealing with them in the Muslim courts with Sharia law, Quranic law. It is taking away the sovereignty of the UK. And ladies and gentlemen, it will eventually destroy the sovereignty of the United States of America and our constitutional republic and our representative form of government. The third thing is, ladies and gentlemen, they will do. Then there is the electing of Islamic leaders into the House of Representatives and in the Senate and other places of leadership. We've noticed the rapid move from Omar and Tlaib, both Islamic women elected to the House of Representatives. They're now pushing for Islam to be able to have their headdress, pushing for the Islamic head covering in the session, in the Senate. And in the House, ladies and gentlemen, the resolution to allow head covering by the Islamics were pushed and approved by Nancy Pelosi. And this change of policy, ladies and gentlemen, and for over 200 years, the policy has been in the House, you do not have your head covered for women or men. But now you will notice that we have the Islamics that have their head covered, and that's by change of the resolution pushed by the Democratic Socialists. This is an article that says Tlaib, which is one of the Islamics. We always said the Muslims are coming. One of the newcomers of Congress, Representative Rashid Tlaib, declared in a speech at the Council on American Islamic Relations to them that, quote, the Muslims are coming that we've always heard, and happily pondered her enemies floated by the river dead, she said. The comments were made by at the CARE annual fundraising banquet. We've always heard the Muslims are coming. I think we're here, she said in her opening remarks. We're not only everywhere in all kinds of different governments, but we are marshaling the forces in the United States Congress. This is a statement openly made. It's not made in the closet. It's not made in secret. Openly made in the House of Representatives, and it's openly being carried out. What are we doing? Here's an article that says Rashid Tlaib is a threat to the national security. New elected Congresswoman Rashid Tlaib, Democrat Michigan, who publicly declared in a foul-mouthed tirade that the Democrats will impeach the blankety-blank Donald Trump, double down on refusing to apologize to anybody. The newly elected Democrats are more radical than their predecessors. Now, low-life Democrats like Rashid Tlaib and others have no respect for the rule of law or for the Constitution. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in serious trouble, and yet most do not recognize it. Here's an article that says, Omar braces for results of campaign finance probe. She is now under investigation for ill use of her campaign funds, et cetera, et cetera. Ladies and gentlemen, I could talk for another hour on this subject, but we must boil it down to this. Why is it that it is so important? Can a Muslim truly be a constitutionalist in America? Can a Muslim be elected to office and be expected to uphold our Constitution? There's several reasons why not. Theologically, no, because his allegiance is to Allah, the moon god. Spiritually, no. Scripturally, no, because his allegiance is to the five pillars of Quran. Religiously, no, because no other religion is accepted other than Allah. Socially, no, because their allegiance to Islam demands that they make no friends with Christians or Jews. Domestically, no, because he's instructed to marry four women and to beat and discourage his wife when they disobey him. Geographically, no, because the allegiance is to Mecca and they turn there five times a day. Politically, no, because they must submit to the mullahs who teach annihilation of Israel and the destruction of America. Intellectually, no, because you cannot accept the American Constitution. Philosophically, no, because Islam, Muhammad, and the Quran will not allow freedom of religion or expression. Spiritually, no, because when we declare one nation under God, that's a Christian nation under God, because God is our Christian God, and they reject that. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in trouble. We need to look up, lift up our head, for our redemption draweth nigh. We need to pray, be salt and light, and be what God would have us to be in the society in which we're living. Thank you for tuning in today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air, even tomorrow, as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University. 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.